I guess this is just not your lucky day. But I do feel that I've got a message from the Lord. We didn't get a chance to pray for the offering, so I'm going to pray for the offering right now. But you know, Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom." So you know what? We don't give to get, but Jesus was telling the truth. When we give, we're going to receive. So we should expect, when we sow a seed, we expect the harvest. So we thank you all for giving. We thank you for supporting this church. The church needs support. And God will bless you. Jesus said himself, you will receive. So Father, thank you for the blessing that you've given us. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us seed to sow, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, we just ask that this seed be multiplied, Lord God, that your word would be preached, that people would hear this message, Lord God, that lives would be changed and touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, appreciate Ken. I really like his voice, you know, when he was doing the communion prayer and stuff like that. I wish I had that deep voice up here, you know. But communion, it made me think of a verse in 1 Peter 1:18. It says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed from corruptible things like gold and silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish and without spot." So God takes this serious, that this blood, it's precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot. And it's not redeemed with gold, silver. It's not redeemed with a stack of $100 bills. This is much more precious. What men think is important in this world is not that important. But the blood is important. So let's take this serious when we take communion. Let's always remember that. All right, church. I'm not going to be too long today. So you'll have the chance to go out and enjoy this nice, warm Nevada weather. We've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, this is a free country. Praise God. We're here. We can bless the Lord, and nobody's telling us that we can't. But I want to talk to you today about supporting your local church. I know that's not the most exciting or catchy title, but I think there is a blessing. There's a blessing when we support the church. So I was trying to think of something a little more catchy, but I couldn't really come up with it. But I'm going to read this verse, Romans 1:16, and then I'm going to pray for the service. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Lord, we just welcome your presence in here today. We welcome that Holy Spirit, Lord God. We just ask that you give us ears to hear, Lord God, that you enlighten our eyes to see the things that you would have us to see, Lord God. Let us be changed more and more into your image. And we ask that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. "So I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." So why am I not ashamed? Because it is the power. 2 Timothy 3:5. If they can put that slide. You know, there's churches out there that don't talk about the power, that don't really believe in the power. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away." See, there's people out there, there's churches out there that deny the power of God. They might not say that with their words, but in their actions they are. It says they have a form of godliness, but they have no power. They think that probably that God used to work in people's lives, but those were Bible days, and all that has passed away. It passed away when the last apostle died. So they have a form of godliness. They have no power. So they're probably preaching traditionalism, or maybe they're preaching rules and regulations, or an intellectual gospel, or a social gospel. You know, you hear a lot anymore about social gospel. Or I don't know what they're preaching about, but if they're not preaching about God's power, the scripture says, turn away from them. Leave them alone. They're doing more harm than good. See, the world needs the power of the gospel as much now, or maybe more now than ever. The power to change. So we're not just talking about an intellectual gospel. I think some people, that they want to put God in a box. They've got their degrees. They've got big books. They talk about God. And they get uncomfortable when they start talking about the power of God. People have issues, church. And the church should have answers for every area of life. You know, there's hurting people out there. But the scripture says that God will bind up the brokenhearted. You know, people are addicted. They're slaves. They're slaves to alcohol. They're slaves to drugs. Slaves to pornography. But the scripture says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And there is freedom in Christ. So we have something to offer. You know, we have freedom. Freedom from alcohol. Freedom from drugs. Freedom from angry spirit. And you know what? I'm gonna stop right now, because I was going to wish Pastor Rob and Samantha a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. So Rob, if you're listening, happy birthday, happy anniversary. And you know how guys think. I was thinking that if I was him, I would probably like to have the birthdays and anniversaries right around Christmas. So that way they could do all three of them at one time and they wouldn't have to worry about it. So ladies, that's how guys think. But just letting you know, though. Anyway, Rob, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, happy anniversary, happy birthday. And you too, Samantha. So anyway, before I interrupted myself, we were talking about power, this power of the gospel of Christ, right? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is the power. You know, and there's a lot of depressed people out there. I mean, every time you watch TV, you're seeing commercials for pills for depression. There seems to be an epidemic of depression. But, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about joy. The word says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And in his presence is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And church, we should have the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. And the list goes on. But this is some things that we need to cultivate in our spirit. And this is something that we have to offer the world, church. You know, and if we're not believing in the power of God, what are we doing here? Or why would somebody want to join us? I want people to come here and say, you know what? I'm changed. There's something different. God is leading me into a place beyond where I was before. I'm letting go of these sins. I'm letting go of these addictions. There's actually power in that place. You know, and I think if we offer them something, they're going to come. You know, there's a saying in business, find a need and fill it. Well, church, there's plenty of needs out there. So we need to have that need fulfilled. We need to be the answer to those needs. And we do that through the gospel. Amen? So in his presence, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'm glad I belong to a church that believes that we have that fruit. That fruit of the Spirit, and that Holy Spirit wants to bear fruit in us. Fruit of love, fruit of joy, fruit of peace. Once again, church, the world has problems, but we have answers through prayer, through the Spirit, and through the Word. You know, John says that Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in a way that we don't fully understand, Jesus actually is the Word. So when we read the Word, we preach the Word, we speak the Word, you know what? Jesus is involved in that. You know, people are hurting in their finances. But the scripture says, My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, money is probably not going to fall out of the sky, and God's provision might involve a four-letter word, W-O-R-K, work. But if we ask God, he can lead you to the right job, a job or a career that you would enjoy. God can show you the right house to buy. He can show you the right car to buy, the right place to invest your money. See, God wants to take you from a place of always being in lack to a place where you can be a giver, where you can be a blessing. But we've got to ask him. And God will lead us by his Holy Spirit if we ask. But once again, we have to ask. You know, he's not going to force himself onto us. We need to be humble. And we need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, you're smarter than I am. I can only see so far, but you can see around the corner. What seems right to me right now might be wrong in the long run. And that's called humbling yourself. And that pleases the Lord. And we want to please the Lord, right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. There are so many promises in the Bible. Great and precious promises. There's promises for your finances, promises for your marriage, promises for your children. You know, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways you cannot see. He will make a way for me. And you probably recognize that as a song. And I was thinking about singing it, but you know what? Especially following the worship team, that would be a real big letdown. I don't want to ruin my message. But I don't know how many of you were around when Pastor John Pruitt was pastor. Can I see hands? There's quite a few. There's several. But he was the founding pastor of this church, and he would be preaching away, and then he would burst into song, you know. And that worked for him. It really worked well. But I don't know if that's going to work for me. See, I think God uses each one of us in different ways, right? So anyway, we were talking about the promises. You know, church, there's promises for every area of your life. And if you have problems that don't seem to be going away, I would encourage you to find scriptures that deal with those issues and read those scriptures. Read them slow. You might want to try reading them out loud. Spend some time with them. Think about what the word is really saying. You know, there's always a deeper meaning that you can draw out of the scriptures. And that's called meditation. Psalm 1, I didn't put it on the thing because hopefully you guys all know Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in its season, and his leaf shall not wither. Praise God. So day and night, the scripture says, he meditates on the word, and he's blessed. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So we think about that word. We meditate on it until we start to believe the word. You know. Sometimes I think we think more in pictures than we do in words. Like if somebody says dog, you don't think D-O-G. You think maybe the dog that you had when you were a kid. Maybe you're thinking about a black dog or a big white dog. But I like to think about these verses. I am like that tree, and I think of a beautiful tree planted by the rivers of water, that beautiful river. I have these green leaves, and I'm bearing fruit unto righteousness. You know, but I'm planted by that river, but maybe off in the distance there's some people who are not planted by that rivers of water. Their leaves are wilting. They're dying off. So go through those things and meditate on them. And there's verses for every issue, every area of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are meditating and they don't even know it. People are meditating on the wrong things, though. They hear the news about COVID. You guys heard of COVID, right? People are dying from COVID, they hear on the news. Thousands of people have died from COVID. Somebody says, if I get COVID, will I go to the hospital? Yes, I'll probably catch COVID and I'll probably go to the hospital. If I go to the hospital, will I die? I'll probably die. I wonder what my funeral will be like. Will people have to wear masks at my funeral? Will my brother-in-law show up? You know, no, my brother-in-law and I, we don't really see eye to eye. See, he borrowed my lawnmower and he broke it, and he didn't want to pay to get it fixed. So yes, you know what, I think my brother-in-law is going to show up, and he's probably going to feel bad. He's probably going to say, you know, I should have fixed his lawnmower. I should have brought him a brand new lawnmower. But he can't do anything about it because I'll be dead. COVID killed me. Okay, I might be exaggerating just a little bit to make a point, but I'm really not exaggerating that much. You know, your mind can go to some crazy places if you let it, but God gave us our imagination, but we need to use it for his glory. God is for us and not against us. How about instead of imagining bad things, negative things, how about we imagine the good things that are in store for us? We think about all the good that God wants to do through us and for us. We imagine all the people that this church is going to touch. We serve a good God and we're expecting good things. We look to the future with anticipation and not dread. Good things are going to happen to us, church. Amen. You know, sometimes I think that the people of this world are better than the people of the church at meditating. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church at large. You know, this I'm going to say by faith that this church believes the word. This is the church that meditates day and night. You know, people are afraid of COVID, but this church knows the verses in Psalm 91. It says, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Also in Psalm 91, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I'm going to, or maybe I should say, we are going to believe the word of God. And guys, if you've got some fear in your life, meditate on those scriptures. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, and it will not come nigh unto me. So let's go for it. Let's believe the word of God. You know, at my house, we have a tree where a robin built its nest and laid its eggs. And I think those eggs should be hatching pretty soon. But yeah, last year, though, another robin laid her eggs in that same tree, and the babies were hatched, and the neighborhood cat came around and killed those little babies. So I haven't seen that cat around lately, and that's a good thing for the cat. I mean, he might be in trouble. But those little hatched birds remind me of most Christians, you know, or most people in the world also. The media tells us that we need to be afraid, and we're like those little birds. We just open our mouth and swallow whatever the media serves up. You guys ever see the little birds in the nest? They go cheep, 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 and they open up their mouth and they're ready to receive whatever the mom puts into its mouth. So we want to have a little bit more wisdom than that. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to understand that everything that we hear is not necessarily from God. We don't need to swallow whatever the media serves up. You know, the news media says that we need to listen to Dr. Fauci because he's the authority. Well, how do you know he's the authority? Because the news media said so. But you know what, church? We have a higher authority than Dr. Fauci. We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. You know, the politicians say that we need to lock down, and churches are shut down, businesses are shut down, small business people are going broke. Trillions of dollars of debt are being created in response. And you guys know all this. I'm not breaking any new news to you. And I don't think that's good. It violates God's principles. The proverb says the borrower is slave to the lender. And I think that we're violating God's word and there will be repercussions. You know, church, we really are blessed to be living in northern Nevada where things are kind of getting back to normal. I was in Albertsons yesterday and I was really amazed. Hardly anyone was wearing a mask. It seems that like for the last year or two, I would be the only one in the store without a mask and people were giving me dirty looks. But it seems to me like the freedom side is starting to win out. But a lot of places all over the world, things are still locked down as tight as a drum. I heard a guy from Canada just yesterday or the day before. He was complaining that he still can't get a haircut because it's all locked down. He can't go to the barber. Mm-hmm. And speaking about Canada, have you guys heard about that pastor who refused to shut down his church? He kept services open, so they threw him in jail. So he's paying a price for the gospel. But praise God, we thank people like that. But church, let's face it, there is a lot of hostility to the gospel out there. But you know, the funny thing is that in states where things were never really locked down that tight, they have a lower death rate than the states that have the strictest restrictions. Blue states like New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Illinois have the strictest lockdowns, but they also have some of the highest death rates from COVID. While red states like Florida and Texas and South Dakota, they didn't take the lockdown that serious, and they have lower death rates. So why is that? I don't know for sure, but I know that Job says, "The thing I have greatly feared has come upon me." So it seems like if you're greatly afraid about something, you know what? You're drawing that thing to you. So if you have a great fear of poverty, you know what? You're going to be drawing that towards you. If you have a great fear of COVID, you know what? I think you're drawing that thing to you. Now, somebody might say that I'm getting political, but you know, I really don't believe in getting political unless it starts to affect the church. There are places all over the world where the churches are still shut down. You know, in California for a while, they shut down the churches, but they let the strip clubs stay open. And church, that's not right. So we need to protect our God-given rights. And let's face it, there's politicians out there who do not like Christians, and they would be just as happy to keep the churches closed forever. But we need to cherish and protect our freedoms. It says in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Praise God. So we should love our freedom and thank God for the freedom that we have in this place. Freedom to worship God, freedom to run our businesses, freedom to live our lives as we choose, and freedom from fear. So I've got a question for you. How do we know if what you're thinking on is from God? Well, one way is if it makes you afraid, it's not from God. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." Praise God. You know, there's a spirit of fear, but there's also a spirit of power. And we have that spirit of power. But we need to remember that. We need to recognize that we don't have to be afraid. We have power. We have love. We have a sound mind. And some other scripture or some other versions of the Bible, they say self-control. And I think those two go together. You control your thinking. You control yourself. You control your mind. Power. And this brings me back to the first verse that I read in Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Gentiles." Slide number 4. The gospel is the power. So I think it's important that we define the word gospel. I think a lot of people out there, they think anything to do with God is the gospel. You know, if it's something religious, it's gospel. You know, if I shake my finger at people and say, "Turn or burn, God is angry at you. That's the gospel. But that's not what the word is in the Greek. The word gospel is euangelion. Euangelion. Please forgive me. My Greek is a little weak. And according to my Andrew Womack Bible commentary, this word is translated gospel 77 times in the New Testament. But it's very rarely used outside of the New Testament. You know, there is a common word in the ancient Greek for good news, but it's not the word euangelion. That the word accurately translated is nearly too good to be true news. And the Bible has co-opted that word because, like I said, very rarely do you see it outside of the scriptures. But and that word is probably uncommon because most news is not nearly too good to be true news. You know, when most Americans think about something that's nearly too good to be true, they probably think about what? Winning the lottery. Or maybe they think about the publisher's clearinghouse, sweepstakes. And you've probably seen the commercials. A big white van pulls up. Steve Harvey gets out with a bunch of people. And they have a big bouquet of balloons, right? They knock on the door. Somebody sees who it is. They jump up and down. They start to cry. My wife says I never cry, but you know, in this case, I might cry a little bit. Hey, and you know what? That would be good news. They hand you a check this big with a whole bunch of zeros on it. You know, that would make us happy, right? But then what happens? First of all, you got to pay taxes, right? So there goes about half of your money. And then maybe your relatives get mad because you're not sharing all your money with them, right? And people get jealous. And maybe a con artist is going to try to rip you off. So is winning the lottery or publisher's clearinghouse, sweepstakes, not good news? No, of course it's still good news. But it always seems like there's a downside to things. Like the old song goes, every rose has its thorn. But this is the good news. There's no downside to this news. This is the nearly too good news of the gospel. You know, and people do have good news. If you were here last week, you saw our young missionaries from the church. Stephen and Melanie announced that they were getting married. And I don't know, I think most of you were probably here last week. Dr. Paul did a missionary Sunday, and he talked about those missionaries. He talked about his sons. He talked about Brian also. And you know what? We need to let those missionaries know that we do appreciate them. They're doing a good job for the Lord. You know, a guy Brian's age, you know, most of them are all about going out there and making their career work, you know, and trying to make money. But he's sacrificing himself. Kids to me anyway, you know, like, you know, Brian, Nate and Samuel, thank you. Nate and Samuel and Stephen and Melanie, you know, they're doing something for the Lord. Instead of most kids their age, you know, they're out about having fun, maybe partying, you know, raising some heck. But those guys are doing something important. But you know, even though they're not out there partying and living it up, I don't think they'd want us to feel sorry for them. I think they're having fun. You know, I think they really are enjoying themselves being used by the Lord. You know what? And they're doing something significant. They're doing something meaningful. And are there hardships? Yes, I'm sure there are. You know, they go to Africa. There are some really poor places. They go to Mexico, you know, and things are not always rosy and bright. But, you know, and they grow up. And, you know, and it's an exciting life. It's an adventure. So don't feel sorry for them. But at the same time, let them know that we do appreciate them. And Paul, we did like your message, but one thing I didn't like is sometimes your jokes are funnier than mine, so hopefully you can work on that. No, really, his message was inspiring. I was ready to sell it all and go go be a missionary, but my wife talked me down from the ledge there. So anyway, Stephen and Melanie, they're planning on getting married, and that's good news, or at least I hope it's good news. But actually, I do think it is good news. You know, God told Adam that it's not good for a man to be alone, so he made a helpmate for him. He made Eve. So I think that most people would be happier if they get married, as long as you get married in the Lord. You know, marriage can be heaven on earth, but it can also be hell on earth. So use some wisdom. So just because she's a pretty girl and she seems nice, or just because he's a nice guy with a cool car, but if they're not in the Lord, leave them alone, right? You're asking for sorrow and heartache. So Stephen and Melanie are getting married. That's good news. You know, somebody's getting a new house. Hey, that's real good news, right? Somebody's buying a new car. That's good news. Somebody's paying off a car that they paid too much for. That's good news. And you know what? We should be happy for them. There's a scripture that says we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we sorrow with those who sorrow. So we should be happy for people. And that is good news, like I said, but that's not the nearly too good to be true news of the gospel. You see, I was dead in my trespasses and my sins. And don't look at me that way, because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. And the words up there might be a little bit small, so if you've got a Bible, it might not be a bad time to open up your Bible. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of old school. I always bring my Bible to church, and a lot of times it seems like we don't ever open it up. You know, we see the scriptures up on the board, so I just kind of carry it around with me. So if you would like, open up your Bibles to Ephesians 2, starting in verse 4. And if you can't find Ephesians, go to Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and it goes Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. So that's how you remember that. So if you forget everything else today, at least remember that, okay? So anyway, if we found the scripture, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Boy, you know, that's really rich. I mean, you could spend a whole lot of time talking about that. You could spend a whole lot of time meditating on these verses here. But I'm going to read that verse 7 one more time. "That in the ages to come," that means from here ever after, "he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So remember, we're talking about that good news. We're talking about that nearly too good to be true news. It says in verse 5 that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, somebody might say, well, what do you mean dead? You know, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm good looking. But you remember what God told Adam and Eve? The day that you eat of the tree of good and evil, eat of the fruit of the tree of the good and evil, you will surely die. But you know what? They walked around for a couple hundred years before they finally keeled over. But if God said they were dead, they were dead. So in God's eyes, being dead is being separated from him. So before we're born again, we're like dead men walking. But then something happened. We got born again. Our spirit was united with God's spirit. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. And we need to keep that in our memory. You guys, probably most of you know that we're new creations in Christ. But sometimes we let it slip. But that's important. This is very important. We need to elevate our thinking, renew our minds. You might look like your neighbors. You might live in the same kind of house as your neighbors. You might drive the same kind of car as your neighbors. But if they aren't born again, you're different from them. Does that mean that we look down on people? Of course not. See, our salvation is a gift so that no one can boast. No one can brag because I was such a good person. God gave me that salvation. The scripture says, by grace, and that's God's unmerited favor, favor that we don't deserve, by grace we have been saved through faith. So God extends his hand of love and his hand of grace. But we have a part to play. We have to have faith. We believe to receive salvation. By grace, that's God's part. We receive salvation through faith. That's our part. So this is the glorious message that we have to this lost and dying world. Jesus was judged on our behalf so that we can spend eternity with him. And you guys know John 10, verse 10, is that what it is? The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So God wants us to be with him forever in eternity, but he also wants us to have an abundant life now, a good life now. Church, we are blessed. Jesus paid a very dear price for us, for our salvation. And our salvation starts the minute that we're saved. And it works through us until the time that we depart and go to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I'm going to read that again. "For he made him," talking about Jesus, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So when did Jesus become sin? And that almost sounds kind of blasphemous in our mouth. Jesus became sin? Now, how can I say that? But that's what the scripture says. See, he became sin on the cross. See, we had sin in us, and he took that sin in us and placed it on Jesus. But Jesus had no sin in him. So Jesus took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. It's the great exchange. He took the sin and we took the righteousness, our right standing with Christ. So we're not righteous by our good works. We're righteous because what Jesus did for us. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, you know what? We should have good works. Our lives should be changed. We should be different than the people around us. But that's not how we please God, or that's not how we get righteous. Our righteousness is a gift, and we walk out that righteousness, and we live a sanctified life, a holy life. You know what? We're against sin. Sin hurts us, and it hurts the people around us. So just because your righteousness is a gift, that doesn't mean that you have free rein to sin. Of course not. People talk about greasy grace and sloppy agape. Well, that's not scriptural. We receive that grace, Lord God, and you know what? And we allow that grace to change us from the inside out. Praise God. We're not talking about rules and regulations. We're not talking about following laws. We're talking about living that life in the Spirit. So our job as a church is to get this message out. And this message will get out. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come." Now, if you have a red letter Bible, you know what these words are going to be in red, because this is the words of Jesus. He said that this will happen. He says that this gospel will be preached throughout the whole world. You know, there's some promises in the Bible that are conditional. You know, you hear this verse a lot anymore. It says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." You know, you hear that a lot, and that's a good scripture. I believe in that scripture. But at the beginning of that scripture is the word if. So it's conditional. So if the people don't humble themselves, will God heal the land? Not necessarily. There's conditions on that. But in Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, this gospel will be preached. There's no ifs, there's no ands, and there's no buts. This gospel will be preached to all nations. Amen? You know, and some people might be scared of the words, and then the end will come. Well, you know, in the first verse of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. That's Genesis 1:1. But in the last verse of the Bible, Revelations 22, 21 and 22, last two verses. So if you go there, if you get the maps, you went a little bit too far, back up a couple pages. Jesus said, Revelations 22, 21 and 22 says, he who testifies about these things says, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. So you know what? Your Bible is probably a big, fat book. God has said a lot of things in this book, right? But the very last thing, the very last words before this book is closed is, I am coming soon. And we say, yes, Lord, come. You know what? Jesus says he's coming soon, and you can find that in so many places in the Bible, in the New Testament. So if you don't realize that, it would be a good idea to spend some time. Look those scriptures up, and that's what I plan on doing. He is coming soon, but you know what? We're not afraid of that, because it's not really the end. It's the end of this corrupt world system, and a new system is coming where Jesus is taking his rightful place as Lord. We're not afraid, but we long to see our Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That should be our attitude. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. See, that's the one who loved us, who died for us, who paid the price for us. And we long to see him. We long to see his face. So God wants this message, this glorious message of the gospel, to be preached. But God uses people, and he uses churches. So we are his body, and Christ is the head of his body. So if God wants to reach out, you know what he does? We are his hands. If he wants us to speak, we are God's mouth. You know, God could have used angels, but he chooses to use us in his church for his glory. Imperfect people working out God's perfect will for our lives. But you know, when you look at the modern church sometimes, it looks like a spiritual train wreck. We're supposed to be his body, connected together. But it looks like there's an eyeball laying over there. There's a foot laying over there. There's a spleen right in front there. I don't know what a spleen does, but ask Dr. Paul. He could probably explain that to you. But I know it's important, because God doesn't make unimportant parts, right? And there's probably a couple fingers laying over there. And somebody... I don't know if all you guys noticed, I'm missing a couple fingers. I had an accident with a table saw at home. And let me just say, the moral of that story is, if the Holy Spirit tells you to lower the saw blade and to pay attention, you should lower the saw blade and pay attention. You know, and the funny part of that story was, I was wearing my wedding ring and cut my fingers off. And I don't never know what happened to the wedding ring. I looked over into the corner, all over the garage and everything like that. I'm not sure it was that. I looked down inside the saw itself. So I guess there's a couple fingers waiting for me in heaven with a wedding ring on it there. You know, the bad part is I cut the fingers off, and I guess I was kind of in shock. I didn't even shut the saw blade off. I went into the house. I had Leslie... take me to the hospital, and I've left my pinky there on the garage floor. So she had to go back and look for it. And she called my middle son, Jared, who's in Reno, and she told him what happened, and she was afraid she couldn't find it. So she FaceTimed him, turned the phone around, and said, you know, you got to move forward. And they looked together for the finger, and there was my pinky. And she said it was still pink, so that's why it's called the pinky. So the doctors tried to fix it, I guess. I don't know. I was knocked out, but didn't work. So anyway, I just interrupted myself there. So, but, you know, somebody asked if I get depressed over losing my fingers, you know, and I really don't. I tell my wife this is my strong hand and this is my stronger hand, right? And I certainly don't blame God. You know, God didn't push my hand into the saw blade. I did it all by myself, right? So anyway, before I interrupted myself, we were talking about the body of Christ. The Bible says that he is the head of the church and we are his body. And it makes God happy when we're walking in unity, doing his will and being a blessing to the world. God told Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. You know what? If we're going to be a blessing, God will bless us. He uses people that want to be used. So God wants us to touch this community and to touch the world. So I'm going to be finishing up pretty soon, but what I'm saying is the world needs to hear this message, this good news about his love and about his grace, and he wants to use you and he wants to use me. We are part of that body, and he's not looking for superstars. He's looking for willing vessels. So if we cooperate with his plan, he's going to bless us as a church, and he's going to bless us individually. Now, if anybody's out, well, you know what? I'm going to read, this is not in my notes, but I thought about this morning in Acts 1:8. And you can open up your Bibles to it if you want. But the scripture starts out and it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, first of all, I'll stop right there. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that don't want to touch that verse with a 10-foot pole. They don't want to hear about the power of God. You know, they've got God in their theological box, and they don't want to hear about the power of God. You know, it's all mental ascension to them. But anyway, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You know what? Jerusalem was like their home base. Just like this church, Christ Community Church, is our home base. So when that power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we should be witnesses around here to our surrounding community. And then it says in Judea. So that would be outside of Spring Creek and, you know, maybe in Elko, maybe in Wells and Carlin and Jackpot and all these little towns around here. Once we're established in our Jerusalem, which is our community right here, we start to branch out. You know, people get excited. They start hearing this word and they're saying, hey, you know what? This works. You know, this is real. You know, God wants to use us. This message of the gospel needs to be preached. So we start here, and then we move on to our surrounding communities. Mm-hmm. And then it says, and in Samaria. Well, Samaria is just a little bit different because, you know, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't really get along. You know, they didn't see eye to eye. There was some issues between them. So that might be us reaching out to different communities, different races, different peoples. You know, maybe, you know, Pastor Rob is half Spanish, you know. I mean, is there a message that we have to the Spanish people, to African Americans, to different cultures, to people who don't accept the gospel, you know, but are still hurting? You know what? We have a message to saved people and to sinners. We have a message to gay people and to straight. That doesn't mean that we have to accept their sins, but hey, you know what? We need to offer them. We've got something to offer. So we can be a witness to Judea, or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to all the earth. Praise God. God wants us to reach out throughout all the earth. And how do we do that? You know what? We do it through our missionaries. Plenty of ways. I mean, people preach the word through the TV, through radio. But first of all, God wants to bless us here. He wants to work, first of all, through us and let this home base get strong. And then, you know what? We're going to have plenty of supply to reach the communities, to reach the world around us. Amen? So if anybody out there is not sure if they're part of this body, if you're not sure if you're born again, and I'm sure that most of you are, you can be sure right now, today. And you know what? It's not hard. Jesus did the hard part on the cross for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid a terrible price for us. So all we have to do is believe and confess him as Lord. It's as easy as A, B, C. A is admit you're a sinner. The scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know, the people who are excluded from heaven, they're the self-righteous. They're the Pharisees, the people who think, I'm a good person, I don't need a Savior. But church, we need to humble ourselves and say, yes, I have sinned. You know, you may be a better person than I am, and I hope you are, but you're not good enough to go to heaven. You need a Savior. You need a Lord. But nobody out there, you know, there's some bad people out there in the world who've done some terrible things. But you know what? They're not so terrible that God's grace can't reach out and save them. And that's a glorious testimony. When a sinner gets saved, it catches people's attention. So we're all in the same boat, church. That's what I like about this. You know, black and white, male and female, Jew and Gentile, all of us have to accept that we have sinned. We've messed up and we've blown it. So A is admit you're a sinner. B is believe. And I'm going to ask you right now to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And C is to confess him as Lord. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here and then we're going to be done. And this is in Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe with our heart and we confess him as Lord. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and then when I'm done, I'm going to ask all of us, because it doesn't hurt even if you're saved. Or if you're not sure that you're saved, this is your chance to say, we're all going to say it together. We're going to say, Jesus is Lord. So Lord, we come to you.